around, I feel like there's some things that are missing. Because from the very beginning, throughout all the time, it was really a burden upon their heart. I don't see brother and sister Hosea and Ellen here. Greatly miss them. Also, I look around, I don't see brother Thornton Stearns. You know, these dear ones who had such an impact at the beginning of this, they're not with us and we really miss them. But the comfort we have is we know they might be weak physically, they're still strong in the Lord, and they're with us tonight in spirit. And they're the ones that have encouraged us and paved the way. So I'm very thankful for these dear ones and all that they have done for us in making this time and their faithfulness for many years. I'd like for us to turn this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read our two theme verses. As already was shared, we know our theme is, Who am I in Christ? We want to look at the verses that we have for our theme. 1 Corinthians 1, read verse 30 and 31. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our second theme verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul is writing here. He says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that we can gather in your presence. Lord, we're thankful because we know it's upon your heart to reveal your Son to us. Lord, we come with an expectation. But Lord, we know how much you're desiring to reveal more of Christ to us. And so as we come tonight, Lord, by faith, we step into the provision that we have in you. We're thankful that you have already made a full and complete provision for this time tonight. Lord, we're thankful for the enabling power of your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the quickening power of your Spirit. And we pray specifically you would quicken these mortal bodies, as many of us have had long, tiring travels today. Many things would try to wear us out. But we're thankful for the enabling power we have in you, Lord. Lord, we are thankful that as we gather, even as we've already sung, we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over this time. And we come looking off unto you, Lord, that in a very fresh way, you could speak to each and every one of us. You could encourage us in this hour. That we could stay in this race, even in the difficult days we find ourselves in. In thy name we pray. Amen. As we look at this question on this theme of who am I in Christ, this is actually one of the most vital questions that we can ask ourselves in these last days. Because it's absolutely essential that each and every one of us have it settled within our hearts, the answer to this question. This is a vital issue in these days that we're living in. For us to be very clear in our Christian life, there needs to be settled in our hearts the reality of this. We're speaking far more than just being clear on this from a doctrinal point of view. It's nice if we can talk about it and speak about it theologically and doctrinally, and that's very important. But beyond that, there's a reality within our lives that we need to be entering into for this matter of being in Christ to be impacting us in these days. We all recognize that we're living in the last days. And in these last days, we're already experiencing great shakings. Things that we've trusted in for many years, they're shaking. We see shaking going on throughout the world. We see shaking within the church. We look at our own lives and we see weakness and frailties. We look at brothers and sisters we're walking together with, and all of a sudden we see them stumbling. They're not with us. Ones that have been with us, and then they're against us. Things that we thought we could trust in, everything is being shaken. And if we don't have it settled within our hearts on this matter of who we are in Christ, as the days become more and more intense, as the days become more and more difficult, we'll be those that are fainting. We'll be those that are falling away. We'll be those that are dropping out. We don't want to be those. We want to be those that are finishing this race. He set a race before us. He's made every provision for us in Christ. And by faith, we want to be those that are pressing through in this. How vital it is for us to know the reality of this within our hearts on a daily basis. When the shakings come, this is what holds us. This is what is our bedrock. This holds us like that anchor within the veil. When the storms of life are coming, this holds us through the storm. This simple, basic truth, who am I in Christ? Now, sometimes we might think that is too elementary for a conference theme. Maybe we want some higher theme like God's eternal purpose. But brothers and sisters, unless we know this matter of who we are in Christ, everything else is in vain. This is a fundamental, foundational truth, and it is very elementary within all of our lives, and how we need to have this settled. Brother Sparks, in his little book, In Christ, he says there's no phrase that's used more extensively in the New Testament than this phrase in various forms. He says it's used over 200 times. And he says, within the whole range of Christian dogma, there's nothing more extensive, nothing more comprehensive, and yet nothing less understood and appreciated than this matter of being in Christ. Brother Sparks said, there's nothing more extensive than this precious truth, and yet there's nothing that's so misunderstood, not entered into, than the precious reality of this. You know, as we said, this is a very fundamental, foundational truth. And we can see Paul, as he wrote about this matter, he was writing to the Corinthians. And we know that when Paul was writing to that church in Corinth that first time, that they were having all sorts of trouble. We know that this letter, we could call this letter of 1 Corinthians a picture of the carnal man. These believers that were doing everything in themselves, they weren't allowing the Lord to truly be living in them. And they weren't recognizing their position in Christ. So when Paul starts his letter from the very beginning in this first chapter, he lays out some basic aspects of this Christian life. And we're not going to look at those other aspects, but he concludes with this fundamental aspect of what God has done. By his doing, we are in Christ. And this, we see this as Paul elaborates on it through this letter. And praise God, when you get to 2 Corinthians, we see that beautiful picture, not of the carnal man, but of the spiritual man. Are we desiring to be those that are entering in to that life in the Spirit, of being that spiritual man that he's calling us to? It starts with these foundational and basic truths of entering into the reality every day of knowing who we are in Christ. Well, let's ask this question. How do we get into Christ? And it's very simple. Paul tells us right there in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it's by his doing. By his doing we are in Christ. He's purchased us. He has redeemed us. We had nothing to do with it. It wasn't by our good works. It wasn't by our effort. It wasn't by our zealousness. It wasn't by all of our good deeds. It wasn't by our good flesh. Was it even our love for him? It was nothing of us. That's why it says that no man can boast, because it was done by him. He did it. He first loved us, and he called us unto himself, and he laid his life down, and he's purchased us and redeemed us and placed us in Christ. What a foundation we have. What a solid and sure foundation we have. And we see how Paul, as he goes into this, he makes it very clear from the very beginning that this is a work of God. He has done it. And we simply, by faith, enter into it. If we stop and really look at this phrase of in Christ and what I'm going to call the benefits of being in Christ, they're really innumerable. But if you start to go through the New Testament, you start to see how we are in Christ. Paul, he testifies of this over and over again, how our Lord Jesus, he's taken us out of a kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's taken us out of our unrighteousness. He's put us in those clothes and robes of righteousness. He's taken us out of being in an unholy place, and he has sanctified us. He has redeemed us. He's been made unto us wisdom. All of the things we were on the outside, living our own lives, we were under the place of condemnation, but praise God, in him there's no condemnation. He's given us great liberty. We were in bondage. He set us free. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Just most of these themes, most of these verses related to in Christ, any of them in and of themselves could be a conference theme. When we stop and think of, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. What a theme of our conference that could be. He's brought us into that prize of the in high calling, or the on high calling in Christ Jesus. What a calling he has upon our life. And in him, it says in Colossians, we have been made complete. In Christ, we have been made complete. Oh, brothers and sisters, we can go on and on. If we start looking at the characteristics of how the Lord, he has been made unto us faith. He's been made unto us peace. He's been made unto us wisdom. He's been made unto us hope. He's been made unto us love. All of these we have in Christ. On and on we go. And even beyond that, it just doesn't stop with us individually. But as we were born again, as he redeemed us, he not only came to live within us, but he baptized us. He put us into the body of Christ. That we're here with brothers and sisters and with all the saints. Over and over, when Paul is writing his letters, he says to all the saints in Christ, to the beloved brethren in Christ. There's a body, there's this life that we've been brought into together. And how he talks in Ephesians how we've been raised together, seated together, being built together in Christ. For a habitation for him in Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a glorious calling, what a glorious work the Lord has done by placing us in Christ. And more than that, he has made us into his bride. We're not ready yet, but we're that bride being made ready. And it's even he that's doing the work there. What a purpose he has for us. All in this little phrase, in Christ. Not in ourselves, not in our strength, but in him. This is what he's called us to. And this is what we're here to consider this weekend. This is what we're here so desiring, that the Lord would take such a familiar, so-called common phrase and cause it to be very fresh within each and every one of our hearts. Do we ever... The precious thing about this conference and getting this assignment, it's made me stop and really stop and consider the preciousness of being in Christ. When is the last time in this busy days that we live in that we've actually stopped and meditated and turned our hearts to him and considered this matter of who am I in Christ? Just looking unto him and all that he's done. It brings a worship to our heart. When we think of how he's the one who has redeemed us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And he has redeemed us and made us alive in Him. And as I said, we're no longer in that bondage, no longer in the bondage to sin, no longer in bondage to self or the world or the enemy. But there's a great freedom we have in Him. And how we don't have those filthy rags anymore. But there's that righteousness that we have in Him. And how He has sanctified us. And that through that, we can offer up a sacrifice of praise. Because of being in Christ, we can have a time of worship. We can have a bold and confident access into His presence to offer up praise and adoration to Him. All the benefits we have of being in Christ. We can enjoy the glory of His presence now. Yes, there's a future glory, but there's a glory of His presence now that we can enjoy in Him. We can enjoy that place of security. We can enjoy a place of peace and rest. When all of these things are going on in the world, we can enjoy knowing that there is that place of comfort in Him. All of His precious and magnificent promises are yes and amen in Christ. On and on, we can just keep going. And as we said, beyond that, just even together, how we're being built together with all these wonderful, beautiful brothers and sisters. What a glorious picture it is. What a great privilege we've been brought into. As you look around and just see the beauty of Christ in brothers and sisters, and that He's doing this work of building us and preparing us together, spending eternity with Him. And we can go on and on, and you find yourself, you're like Paul, you're trying to describe the height and the depth, the length, the width, the being in Christ. And we just can't. We run out of words. Hymn writers have been trying to do it for centuries, over and over, these beautiful hymns that we have, and not one of them captures the full essence in and of itself. That's why we're so thankful for the full compilation of hymns. All of the choruses we have, on and on, trying to just really see the beauty and the blessed privilege that we've been brought into, and the greatness of this life we have now in Christ. Wow, it's the more we focus upon it, it lifts us out of our chairs when we start to consider who we are in Christ. But then, we stop and we look at ourselves and we look around and we see all of these things we have in Christ, but do we see them reflected in our lives? Do we see all of these wonderful truths? We start to look around at ourselves and we start to see a contrast. We're supposed to be that reflection of His glory and His beauty. Where is the reflection of His life among His people? Why do we bear so little testimony of that life of Christ within us? When we stop and think of all that we have in Him, why isn't that being shown forth in such a glorious way? And this is such an essential question. And it actually brings me to my burden for this evening. Because if we don't know the answer to this question of who we are in Christ, our lives will end up living a defeated life. We'll end up living a paralyzed life. Condemned life, and in many ways feeling so useless and unappreciated and of no value at all. We're being robbed of the glory and the beauty of His life that we've been brought into. Not only we are being robbed, but our Lord Jesus is being robbed of His inheritance in us. What is it that hinders us from entering in and displaying the beauty in the glory of all that we have just shared about? It's wonderful if we can talk about all of this, the beauty and glory of being in Christ, and we all say amen. But is it reflected? And I believe, I'm thankful for the reflections of His life we see. But there's much more that He wants us to enter into. There's much more of Christ that He wants to be displayed through His people. particular in these last days. As we consider this, I'd like us to look at two sets of verses. This will get us to the point here. First, let's look back again at 1 Corinthians 1:30. We'll look back at our two theme verses. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then again over in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from him who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And also look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:10 has a marvelous testimony here. Actually, if you look at verse 9, it's a beautiful verse too. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. You know, when we look at these verses, it says we are this. This has been done. It's concluded. It's settled. We are in him. And he has been made unto us redemption, righteousness, wisdom, sanctification. We are complete in him. It's settled and it's done. Now let's look at another set of verses. Look at Philippians 2:12. Most of these verses are somewhat familiar to us. Philippians 2:12. It says, "And so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then back over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. We just read in chapter 2, verse 10 about being made complete. Chapter 1, verse 28. "And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ." When we read these second set of verses, it looks like there's something to be done. Paul is laboring among these ones that by that labor and by that effort, they may be made complete. In Philippians, he's saying, work out your salvation. Which of these two verses are correct? When you look at these sets, they actually seem superficial way to contradict each other. But if you stop and think about it, they're actually both correct. And what we have here is, if we can use this familiar phrase, we're in Christ and Christ is in us. When we're saved, we are in Christ. But praise God, he is also in us. He is that new creation. And that phrase encompasses that the entirety of truth. And what it's speaking of, as you look at these two sets of verses, on the one hand, you have what is called the objective positional truth. That is absolute and settled. And on the other hand, you have the subjective experiential truth. That which gets worked out within us. That objective truth of in Christ, that is settled. The experiential truth of Christ in us. And as we look at this a little more, we'll see how these, as you enter into the reality of this, the entirety of this truth, the fullness of Christ gets expressed through his people. When we think about the objective truth, this is what Christ has done for us in spiritual reality. It's not impacted by time. It's not impacted by events. It's not impacted by our actions. It is done. It is finished. It is settled throughout eternity. And we are in Christ. And praise God, that is settled. Now the subjective or experiential truth that these other verses speak of, it's what we experience of the Lord in our daily lives as we submit to him, as we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work within us, He takes that objective truth and makes it experiential reality in our lives. And how we need to have this done. There's this process that we go through. And how we need that as we submit ourselves to the Lord, we could enter into more and more of the reality of this. First, as we just spend a little more time on this matter of the objective and positional truth. You know, when we're saved, we're put in Christ and it's settled. And every one of those truths that we read about of what we have in Christ is a settled issue throughout all eternity. It's done. And all we do is accept it by faith. We believe in Him. We believe in what He's done. We believe who He is and what He's done. And that's the truth. And to say it another way, we say that's our position in Christ. No matter how you feel, no matter what you understand, no matter how good or bad you are, your position in Christ is secure for all of eternity. Our actions do not impact our position in Christ. Our actions do not, or what we understand or what we feel, don't impact our position in Christ. Now, sometimes we confuse faith or believing with understanding. We confuse faith or believing with understanding. We don't have to understand all these truths for them to be true. We accept them in faith. We can say, I don't feel sanctified. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel part of the body. That doesn't impact the truth at all. I don't understand baptism. I don't understand sanctification. That doesn't impact the truth that you have been sanctified. It is a settled issue, and by faith, we accept that and we believe it. We're so thankful that our feelings, our actions cannot change the truth of who Christ is and what He has done. And I think about our daily lives. Many of us fly a lot. You know, do you really understand how an airplane flies? You know, maybe a couple of engineers could tell us all that. But in general, most of us don't have an understanding of how that plane flies. We all have cell phones. Do you understand how that cell phone works? Before you send a text, what if there was a requirement that you had, before you could use this cell phone, you had to understand how it works? And I'm not talking about the program. I'm talking about the guts within it. What makes this cell phone work? If we had to understand that before we could use it, all of these companies would be out of business. There'd be two or three people walking around with them. But we don't have to understand it to use a cell phone. You don't have to understand Instagram. You don't have to understand Snapchat. You use it. And it's the same way in the Lord. Maybe we don't understand all these truths. We don't understand some of these things. But that doesn't impact the fact that they are true and settled in Christ. And by faith, we believe it. And I want to say it's simply by faith. To make a point that sometimes we can make the Christian life so complicated. There's a simplicity that He's calling us back to in these last hours. Simply walking by faith in Him. He's done it. He said it. And we believe it. And tragically, in the days we're living in, that's too simple for many of us. May the Lord bring us back to a place of simple faith in Him who has first loved us and called us unto Himself. That neither our position in Christ, our position in Christ, as I said, it's just not impacted by our feelings or understanding. We enter into it by faith. Praise God. And we all know this in ourselves because many of you trust that most everybody in this room has been baptized. When you were baptized, did you really understand what it was? Most of us at that moment, we thought we did. But every time we witness a baptism, every time we see another brother and sister baptized, when we think about it, we get a fuller glimpse. You know, praise God, we didn't have to wait to get baptized until we had a full understanding of baptism. Most of us wouldn't be baptized yet. But in faith, we took that step of obedience in Him. And this is so much of the Christian life. And as we allow Him to bring us into that, this is where we get into the second matter of what we're calling the subjective truth of Christ in us. Taking that objective truth and making it become reality within our daily lives. Getting lived out. Christ seen through us. That Christ in us shining forth and being the testimony in the midst of a dark world. This is what, you know, it's wonderful to be in Christ, but praise God, He doesn't end there. He has far more for us than just to be in Him. He wants His life to be shown out through us, that we can be that testimony. That's why He created man, to be His hands, His feet, that testimony of His life upon this very earth. And would we be those that are responding to this? Praise God. You know, I read that verse in Philippians chapter 2. Look back at Philippians 2:12. And I'm so thankful that the verse, it doesn't stop at Philippians 2:12. It continues on. At the end of 2:12, it says, "How much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, if that ended there, that would terrify all of us. You know, we would start to, some would say, okay, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to work out my salvation. I'm going to enter into this. I'm going to really lay hold. I'm going to work. I'm going to do this and do this. But praise God, He knows us. And that's why He continues on in verse 13. Again, it's that no man could boast. Because in verse 13 it says, "For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." As we enter into this subjective truth of the reality of Christ in us, it's Him that's doing the work. Just as He brought us and placed us in Christ by God's doing. Now that Christ is living within us and that objective truth is being made real within us, it's by His doing. It's through the work of His life within us, through the working of the Holy Spirit within us, that the life of Christ we have in us gets worked out, and we enter into the reality of all we have. As we yield ourselves to Him, as we consecrate ourselves to Him, as it says in Romans 12, as we offer ourselves to Him as that living sacrifice, that is essence is giving the Holy Spirit permission. It's giving the Holy Spirit a blank check to work within us as He desires. Unless we give the Spirit permission, He's not going to be doing that work. But as we yield to Him, as we're captured by that love, as we, in 2 Corinthians 5, before we read that verse about being that new, there's a new creation, it says Paul, well, he was constrained by the love of Christ. Constrained by the love of Christ, we offer ourselves to Him that He can work out the reality of all that we have in Him. He takes the reality of that, the reality of that objective truth and makes it real within our lives. As we go through this earth, maybe we don't feel sanctified, we don't feel set apart, but we're thankful that as we come to Him and we offer ourselves to Him, He will start doing that process. If we have a desire to be set apart from this world, and if we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, He will take us at our word, and He will bring us through, and bring us through that process of entering into it. You know, as we think about this process, one of the hardest things for us is that this is actually a lifelong process. It'd be wonderful if it was done overnight, just like that. There's some things in our lives and our experiences that are done pretty quickly. But some of us, too, there are those areas of our life that it seems like we're never, it just takes the whole lifelong process to get there. Because it's a progressive process of experiencing Him more and more and more. I know most of us within this room, maybe we thought we saw something of Christ. And it so thrilled our hearts. and it was impacting our life. It had changed us, and we were going this way, and now we're going this way with something. And it came and it touched our hearts and it impacted us. And we said, now I see. And then as we go on, we only find out we saw in part, because he shows us more of himself. And we look back, it's like we didn't even see. We thought we saw, but the more we see of him, the more he shows us of himself. He's dying there to show us more and more of himself and the fullness that he's brought us into. He wants us to discover those riches. But we shrink back so much. We love ourselves so much. We hesitate to really offer ourselves to him. And how, that's why I love the testimony of John the Baptist, where he says, he, Christ, must increase and I must decrease. That's a lifelong process. Throughout our whole process, the progress we make upon this earth, would it be that daily he is increasing control over our life, and we are decreasing, letting go, releasing the control of our life, that the fullness of who he is can really come forth. Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to have that increased control upon us. And we've got to have this settled, or it can become really frustrating within our lives. If we're not aware of this and we keep going like a NASCAR driver around and around and around, we feel like we're not ever going to get anywhere. We're not making any progress at all. If we don't know that God is doing this work, and in spite of our failures, he's going to work and continue to press on if we offer ourselves to him. Oh, this is why it is so important that we know this objective truth, because sometimes as we're pressing on, we can find ourselves even questioning our life in the Lord. But our position in Christ, as I just want to reiterate, it doesn't change based upon our feelings or our actions. But that position gives us a solid foundation that holds us, and it gives us a great hope for the future and a great hope for all that God is desiring to do. So how does the Lord go about taking this objective truth and making it subjective or experiential reality within our lives? Well, one of the ways is through everybody's most favorite word. It's the cross. The Lord, the daily working of the cross and the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, the more we're willing to allow the cross to work in our lives, the more the Holy Spirit can bring us into these realities. The more we're willing to allow the cross, to embrace the cross, and to allow it to work in our lives, the more freedom the Holy Spirit has in our hearts, in our lives, to take these truths that we know and allow them to become living and real and impacting us in this day and time. When we're facing all these storms of life, by faith we stand on that truth, and we allow him to lead us into the experiential reality of it. You know, just for a couple of examples, I'm thankful that probably everybody in this room is saved. But sometimes, based on our actions, based on the accusations of the enemy, I'm not going to say everybody, but perhaps a lot of us at some point in our Christian life have questioned our salvation. We say, gee, am I really saved? If I'm really saved, am I still acting like this? We start questioning that. And how do we handle that? Do we just try to rationalize it, deny it, say no, this or that? No, by faith, we stand on his word. We stand on the truth of what he's done and what he said. We stand on his word, and we allow, as we stand by faith, and we allow the cross to work within us, that Holy Spirit working within us to make that real, to make it settled within us. And we come into having that settled through within all of our hearts and lives. We mentioned earlier too about how Christ has been made our peace. And we all know this. We know the truth of it. We speak of it. We teach it in Sunday school. And we love to quote the verses about Christ being our peace. And we love telling other people when they're going through something, Christ will be your peace. Well, how about when you go through something? How about when we encounter something so tragic, one of those storms of life, a death within the family, an illness within the family, or even the normal daily things of life? You get up in the morning and you know that business meeting at 10 o'clock is going to be a nightmare. Does it rob you of your rest and peace in Christ? You get ready to go to school and you know that one particular class, that class is going to be, again, a nightmare. You're not prepared. And even if you prepare, you still don't have that uncertainty. Are you the one boasting about Christ being your peace? How do we handle it? We get in these situations, and we all get in this way at times, because this is progressive. We find ourselves totally robbed of our peace and rest. This afternoon, Stella and I were driving here, and I had to stop by Staples and print off my notes for tonight. I had it all on a little USB flash drive, and I stuck it in the printer there to work. It didn't work. I said, oh, Lord. I'm going to stay in peace. I'm going to stay in peace. I'm not going to let you rob me of my theme tonight. You know, and then you ask the people at the Staples to help you. They have no clue. I don't know why they pay these people. But they, you know, it's like, you got it. They don't have any clue. They say you got to Photoshop it this way or that way. I said, Photoshop. I just printed off of my printer. So we finally just, praise God, Stella was there. She was firm, steadfast, our great intercessor. We prayed, and we got it printed off after a couple of other tries. We went to another machine. But it's so easy how we can lose our peace. We get so anxious about this, and we start fretting, and we start trying to solve it ourselves. Immediately, we take it in our own hands, and quite often that makes it worse. But the Lord is wanting us to yield to Him. And by when we find ourselves in this place, it's a matter of denying our feelings and denying our thoughts and standing on the truth of what He said and who He is. Now, when we're talking about denying our feelings and denying our thoughts, we're not talking about positive thinking here. We're not talking about if we're all out of rest and all, I'm at peace, I'm at peace, I'm at peace. I've got a dear brother. And when I see him, I'll ask him how he's doing. He always gives me the same answer. He always says, I'm okay. Well, but I know how he's doing, because sometimes he'll say, well, you know, I'm okay. I say, praise God. Other times I say, how you doing? He says, I'm okay. I'm okay. That's not the positive thinking we're trying to enter into here. And it's not like a Christian Scientist either. You know, if something's going bad, no, it's not. It's great. You know, the roof's leaking, no, it's not. You know, this isn't what we're talking about when we're talking about denying our thoughts and denying our feelings. We're not entering into that. But we're going to the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, these are my feelings. This is how I'm feeling in this moment. I know it's not right. And I want to deny those. I want to deny the power that these feelings, these thoughts are having over me. And I want the power of your life within me through the Holy Spirit to do this work of causing this truth to be real to me at this point in time. I want to know. And that's the cross, saying no to ourselves, no to our own feelings and intentions and thoughts, and yes to Him. And then that Holy Spirit can work and bring us about in a wonderful way. Praise God. You know, that cross says no to the power of that it can control us at times. And it looks so real at times. These thoughts and feelings and everything going on around us, they can seem and feel, they can so real. We think this is reality. It's a facade. Christ is a reality. And that's the truth we have to work into, allowing Him to become real, saying yes to Him. And we see, through this, we start to see the great friend we have in the cross. No longer being afraid of the cross, but embracing the cross and seeing the great friend we have in the cross. Praise God for that. You know, the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit brings us into this experience of all of the riches and of our inheritance that we have in Christ. Praise God for all that we have in Christ. And as we surrender to Him, as we yield to Him, and allow the cross and the Holy Spirit to work, one by one, He brings those truths and makes them real within our hearts and lives. He is the great conductor. He is the great instructor, that great trainer in all of our lives, that there would be that great and so wonderful salvation expressed by the life of all His people. As we enter into these last days, as we find the intensity of these days becoming more and more evil, as that spirit of the Antichrist increases, and as Christendom itself drifts further and further from the truth, it's going to be absolutely essential for us to stand on this truth of being in Christ. We're going to have to find ourselves. Everything is going to be challenged. We imagine it being challenged from the world. But tragically, even within Christendom today, so many of the precious truths that we have in Christ are being challenged. And unless we have that settled and we know they're real in our heart, not just knowledge in our mind, but real in our heart, we will be those that are drifting away. We need to heed what Daniel says. Daniel, through the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit kept Daniel and spoke to Daniel in a wonderful way. At the end of the book of Daniel, he says, one of the characteristics of the last days is that knowledge will increase. And there's been a great increase of knowledge, even among, and I'm speaking now within Christendom, there is a great increase of knowledge. And praise the Lord for all the teaching and the resources we have. But how much of that knowledge has become reality within us? It's so vital that we make all of the truths that we have in Christ living reality within our hearts and lives. How the Lord wants to be working this in His people, regardless of what's going on. As we mentioned, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what seemingly appears to be unanswered promises and prayers, if we hold to the foundation of the truth that we have in Him, He keeps us all the way through. And we see this all through Scripture. You know, I'm thankful for ones like a Joseph. At a young age, Joseph, he had a dream. He had a dream, and that dream, and the truth within that dream, and the power of the Spirit within Joseph, it held him. It held him through when he was betrayed by his brothers. Held him when he was sold to be a slave at Potiphar's house. Held him when he was betrayed in Potiphar's house. It held him through the prison there. All of that time, Joseph was held. It was based upon that original truth and the promise that he held on to by faith. He didn't understand that dream. He didn't feel much about that dream. But he knew God had said, and he held on to it. And God made it reality in his life. Praise God for that. As Joseph denied it himself, denied his feelings, denied, maybe at times he was questioning, is this really ever going to happen? That cross and the Holy Spirit working in him, the reality of that dream was fulfilled. It's the same way in the life of David. David was anointed king by Samuel. But did David look like a king? I mean, he was having to flee for his life. His life was being threatened. He had to live in a cave. He was rejected by so many, many false accusations. But finally, he came to the throne. David, he had that truth within his heart of what Samuel had shared. He had that word within him. And as he held to that word and as he denied his own natural feelings at times, he denied himself and allowed the cross to work and the Holy Spirit to work, and that dream was brought into experiential reality within David's life. This is what the Lord is desiring to do within each and every one of us. He has a timetable for us. He has a wonderful plan for us. We know how it says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. His plans for us are good. But are we allowing Him to do His will within us, to work out His will and His way in us? Or are we insisting on going our way? I want to serve you this way. Well, maybe He has another way of wanting us to serve Him. Are we allowing Him to bring us into the fullness of all that He has? And we see that in these days, we're going to have this so settled within our hearts. Because everything that can come against us will be coming against us in these last days. Many are experiencing it already. I mean, you see, you find yourself at work situations now that you never thought you would be in. You have to watch every little word you can say. You go to a school, you can't even call somebody a he or a she. They're students. You have to be careful how you refer to people. It's tragic. And these things can shake us unless we have that solid and sure foundation established in Him. And that's what He's wanting us to enter into. That's why this matter of who am I in Christ becomes more and more essential in these last days. Praise God. And we see this wonderful testimony getting worked out in Paul's life. It's a very progressive testimony in Paul's life. As he goes a little ways and the Lord works in him, he goes a little further, the Lord works in a deeper way. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul's testimony is, I'm the least of the apostles. And we, even when we think about Paul saying he's the least of the apostles, we say, wow, Paul's really being humble there. You know, maybe with comparing to Peter or John, you know, but least of all the apostles? Oh, come on, Paul. No, but that's who he is in the beginning of his ministry, beginning of his life with the Lord. That's what he saw. But as he kept going on, as he said in that same chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. And as he died daily to learn more of the Lord, he writes later on in Ephesians, he says, I'm the very least of the saints. And we say, wow, Paul, you're the very least of the saints. Come on. You know, there's no way you can be the very least of the saints. Look at how great you are. Look at all you've done. You've had your missionary journeys. You're writing this letter from prison, from your faithfulness to the Lord. But he said, I'm the least of the saints. But as he continued on and went through more sufferings, he went through betrayals. Everybody forsook him. They left him once he had poured his life out to. They left him. Finally, in 1 Timothy 1:15, he testifies, I am the chief and foremost of sinners. And we can't even comprehend that. I hear people praying at times. They're the chief and foremost of sinners. And, you know, I'm wanting to come to that point because I still love Mac too much in myself. I can't honestly say that I've entered into the reality of being the chief of sinners because Mac is too good a guy. You know, there's a lot of stuff that Mac's not got going for him, but to be the chief of sinners, come on. You know? I mean, look at Mac. I mean, he's up here sharing tonight while the Yankees are playing. I mean, he gets some credit for that, you know. Of course, they were winning pretty good before it started, so anyway. But We hear these thoughts. And this was real to Paul. This was Paul's life. This was how he died daily. And how did Paul come into that? Paul came into that because he saw Christ. He saw who he was in Christ. And the more he saw of Christ, he didn't come to the point of saying, I'm the least of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners because he was looking at himself. He saw he was the chief of sinners because he was seeing Christ. He saw this new creation. He saw Christ, and that was the contrast. He saw the great contrast between who the Lord was and who he was without the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord is calling us to. He's desiring to show forth the excellency of himself. He's desiring that we clearly see in a fresh way more and more of Christ. The more we see of Him, it creates within us that hunger, there's that response in our heart, that yearning to really respond unto him in a living way and allow Christ in us to come forth. So as we're here this weekend to consider this matter of who am I in Christ, I pray that each one of us would take some time. Really stop and consider, who are we in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Just take your Bible, start flipping through, looking at some of the precious verses that we have there. I pray the Lord would use this weekend to open the eyes of our hearts, that we would have this revelation in a fresh way of who we are in Christ, and that the reality of all these riches we could stand into by faith. And maybe where we haven't, praise God, all we got to do is repent. Lord, forgive me. I didn't believe you on that. But thank the Lord, it's under the blood, and I believe you. You know, unbelief doesn't disqualify us. We can, if we don't believe something, we come back and we say, Lord, forgive my unbelief. I believe and I accept what you say. And I give myself afresh to you for you to make that real in my heart and life. There's nothing that separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And he's wanting us to press on to know him more and more. And would that create within us this willingness to die daily, to be offering ourselves in that way, that the reality of all we have in Christ would be worked within us, and that we would become a living, visible testimony of Christ in us in these last days. There needs to be a clear testimony of Christ upon this earth in these last days. Tragically, there's so much muddied waters out there about the testimony of Christ. Would that there be brothers and sisters in various areas that can stand, not so many the quantity of brothers and sisters, but that quality of one standing there saying, we're in Christ, then being that testimony unto him. And we have this desire that Christ would be lived out through us. And as this truth of Christ in us becomes real to us in a greater and fuller way, what that means is different brothers express it different ways. The more we enter in to Christ in us, the more that reality works within us of denying ourselves. That's the salvation of the soul. That's our soul being coming under dominion of the Spirit. We could say another way, that the more and more we stand on that objective truth of being in Christ and allowing the reality of it to get worked out in us in our daily life, you could use John's term. That's the bride making herself ready. How the Lord is jealous for the bride. We have been made that bride. He's looking for his life within us to have a freedom to work, to make us ready, to hasten his return. He's jealous to come back in this hour. And we are the ones that are holding that back. Would we be captured in such a fresh way of this glorious place we've been brought into in Christ, that it would give us a new perspective? It would change our whole outlook on what's of value and what's not of value. And we could see the great value of being in Christ and the privilege we have in him. And the more we see of him, it would create within us a heart that would be bent over. It would be yielded. It would be submitting to him for him to work out that great salvation that we have. Putting aside the things of this world, putting aside the things that we thought were of value, and counting them all as rubbish, that we could press on to know him in a fuller and greater way. Just as Paul had that desire, would that be our desire in this hour? And as we're here this weekend, let's take the time, let's take advantage of this opportunity and allow the Holy Spirit to be working in each and every one of our lives to prepare us for his soon return. Let's pray. Lord, we do worship you for the greatness of the call of your life that you have in us, Lord. Lord, we are thankful that we're in Christ. And your life within us is shouting a shout of desire to come forth and be expressed through each and every one of us. Lord, we're thankful that we can draw apart this weekend. And we pray, Lord, that as we set this time apart unto you, Lord, that we would allow your word to be working in a full way within each of our lives. Lord, we don't want to be those that are holding on to things that we think are of value that will simply be wood, hay, and stubble. But we want to be those that are surrendered to you, that you can do your great work of your life of Christ being formed within us, and that we can be the testimony that you're calling us to be in this time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we can submit this time to you. Your blessing would be upon each one of us. Your blessing would be upon the other brothers as they share. And we pray for those too that are still on the way here, that, Lord, you would bring them in to the fullness of what you would have for this weekend, that even though they might miss an opening message, Lord, you would be able to work in their hearts and lives the fullness, that nothing would be lost. All the fragments would be gathered up. Everything is gathered up, and nothing is lost. For thy name's sake we pray. Amen.